Hi, everyone. I'm Tanzina Vega. Thanks for joining us on The Takeaway. And we begin today with the ongoing crisis in Puerto Rico. On Monday, the Senate voted down a series of bills that would have provided Puerto Rico with $600 million for disaster relief. Both political parties have been quick to assign blame. Here's Democratic Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont speaking on the Senate floor days before the vote.
The president is willing to endanger the entire disaster package for all of the United States because he wants to pick winners and losers. When there's a disaster, there are no winners and losers. Americans come together to help everybody.
And in a press release on Monday, Republican Senator Marco Rubio wrote, "My colleagues had the opportunity to choose action over obstruction. Shamefully, Senate Democrats said no." Republicans said that an aid package passed by the House doesn't give enough money to Midwestern farmers hit by recent floods. And Democrats argue that legislation favored by the GOP doesn't come close to meeting Puerto Ricans' needs. Amid the stalemate, the president on Tuesday lashed out at Puerto Rico, saying the island's politicians are, quote, grossly incompetent, spend the money foolishly or corruptly, and only take from the USA. And as the president tries to draw a line between Puerto Rico and the mainland United States, debates over Puerto Rican statehood are re-entering the conversation. Joining us now are Danica Cotto, a reporter for the Associated Press, and Andrea Gonzalez Ramirez, a senior news and politics writer for Refinery 29. Danica, Andrea, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having me.
So, Danica, let's get started with you. What was the bill that failed supposed to address?
The main point of the bill, at least for Puerto Rico, was supposed to give the U.S. territory $600 million for its food stamp program. Unlike U.S. states, Puerto Rico receives food assistance as a block grant. So Congress actually has to approve disaster funding for the U.S. territory if needed, which it did back in November 2017, roughly 2 months after Hurricane Maria struck. It authorized a one-time $1.27 billion infusion for the nutritional assistance program. This was in addition to the $1.9 billion the island already receives annually from the federal government. But that money ran out in March, and back in November 2018, the governor had already requested the additional $600 million. Now, Trump has said he supports that amount of money, but he does not support any more, you know, generous disaster aid funding. And of course, the bill has since stalled in Congress.
And so when Congress failed to pass the bill, Danica, what kind of impact is this fund, is this lack of funding going to have on Puerto Ricans? Because we've already, I mean, even the initial food deliveries that were being made were, shall we say, lacking in nutritional value. And so now we're dealing with a food stamp crisis. What impact is this going to have immediately?
Well, I mean, the impact is already happening. The money, you know, ran out in March 1st, and that's been more than a month ago. And people have already seen a cut to their benefits. The people I've interviewed said they received half of their benefits. So, for example, a woman who was receiving $400 a month is now receiving $200, and she says she cannot afford to buy one of two types of insulin for her mother. She's also cut back greatly on fresh fruits and vegetables. And it's important to note that overall, the one-time infusion allowed the government to welcome another 279,000 people into the program who are below the poverty level. So overall, 44% of Puerto Rico's 3.2 million inhabitants live below the poverty line. And that's compared to a national average of about 14%.
Andrea, I want to bring you in here because my sense is that Puerto Rico in various points in our history has been important and not important, depending on where we stand.
Yeah.
I'm sensing that this is being framed as a partisan issue. It feels like it's a little bit of political football. What is your sense of how the framing right now is happening in Congress?
Oh, it's definitely a political football. I think after Hurricane Maria, Puerto Rico has been propped as this avatar for the Trump administration failures, right? We have them talking about how this was like, you know, a moral failure. So it's definitely this partisan thing in many ways. And historically, what we've seen is that neither party really cares about Puerto Rico, right? Both administrations, the Obama administration and the Trump administration, have done things to the island that are questionable and that have this hint of colonialism all the time. So it does feel like a political football. And at the end of the day, the people who are being the most impacted do not really have a say. Puerto Ricans do not have a representative that can vote in Congress. we're talking about the people of Puerto Rico without the people of Puerto Rico being in the conversation. Right. And that's something that's happened for the last 121 years.
Well, and now we're talking on something we've talked about for quite some time now about the potential for making Puerto Rico a state. And we know that this has been an ongoing conversation mm-hmm. with between the United States and Puerto Rico and Puerto Ricans themselves. How likely is it to gain traction right now, this call for statehood, which among Puerto Ricans, which, you know, because it seems to be gaining traction in the media. It seems to be gaining mm-hmm. traction among certain politicians. So what do Puerto Ricans think right now?
I do think that definitely the pro-statehood party is winning the media conversation, right? Like, I think Governor Ricardo Rosselló has done an excellent job of, like, delivering his agenda and his message and talking about, like, how it boils down to inequality. But when it comes to the actual people on the island, this has been a divisive issue for decades, right? Throughout all my life, we've been having this conversation, and my parents' life and my grandparents' life. So there's definitely a tension there. I do feel that this effort, this last bill that was introduced that would give Puerto Rico statehood, it's questionable at best. Puerto Rico has had several referendums that have been non-binding. So that means that the results, like, Congress can ignore them, and they have. So what we're seeing now is this push to make Puerto Rico a state without actually considering the input of Puerto Ricans. It presents the question of what would this mean, and I don't think that has been addressed. And just to make Puerto Rico a state without asking Puerto Ricans whether they want to be a state, you know, it's the stench of the colony once again floating around. And I don't know if people on the island are going to be happy with that.
Well, let's talk to you, Danica, about that, because you're there on the island. I want to ask you a couple questions here. When it comes to the issue of statehood, what are Puerto Ricans talking about on the island?
I mean, certainly, I think Maria pushed some people who mm-hmm. might have been, you know, wavering between the current political status or statehood. It might have pushed some people towards statehood just because, you know, of the need for more help. Currently, there's a lot of inequalities. Puerto Rico does not receive the same amount of funding, even though in some cases they do pay the same taxes. So there's certainly, you know, inequality. And some people feel that it would be resolved by statehood. But there's been a five total referendums on the issue, all non-binding. The last one was held in June 2017. And the governor likes to say this is the definitive one. You know, people voted for statehood, which they did. It was more than 500,000 who voted for statehood, followed by nearly 7,800 votes for free association and independence, and then 6,800 votes for the current territorial status. But that referendum was hit by a boycott. Voter turnout was just 23%, which is the lowest ever. So that raised questions about the vote's legitimacy. But at least people here on the island feel that the most recent proposal from Representative Darren Soto is a bit unrealistic. I mean, you know, calls for statehood in 90 days. And like Andrea said, you know, it's sort of a rush job. People are not really being asked their opinion. And so, you know, Puerto Ricans are bristling at that. I feel, you know, Puerto Ricans do want to have this conversation, but they want to have the time to have it. They want to have a proper ballot. Whatever party is ruling in Puerto Rico, the ballot depends on, you know, what kind of wording they want to use. So there's never been sort of a yes or no. But there's been several new parties that are popping up. And the fact that the main opposition party, which originally supported the current territorial status, it's been losing steam. You know, a lot of people have left the party, or it's been fractured. There's been candidates that have formed new parties, and those are still, you know, in formation. So the conversation is definitely there. People, I think, are very much, as Andrea said, eager. I mean, generation after generation, I mean, this is what dominates conversations in Puerto Rico. But they want to be able to have that conversation here and not, you know, have it with politicians in the U.S.
And speaking of politicians in the U.S., Andrea, we saw a group of Congress people on Monday, which included Senator Elizabeth Warren, send a letter stating that Puerto Rico's debt must be absolved. Now, is that real? I mean, we know Warren has a serious policy agenda, probably one of the wonkiest of the candidates right now.
Yeah, she does.
Is this a real policy proposal, or is it more politicking from the Democrats?
It does feel, to an extent, as more politics from the Democrats. You know, in 2016, we saw the PROMESA bill, which created a fiscal control board for Puerto Rico to address its debt crisis. This is a board of like 7 or 8 people who are unelected. They're appointed by the president. And there's been a lot of tension in the island about what this means, right? They're passing a lot of austerity measures. They targeted institutions such as the University of Puerto Rico, which is the biggest public education college system in the island. It services a lot of people. 3 years ago, they voted for PROMESA, and now they want to suddenly like change completely the conversation about the debt crisis. It makes me feel a little bit like this seems opportunistic. Mm. It seems like now it is, you know, valuable for them to hold up Puerto Rico. It's like, oh yeah, we're doing good things for them. Like it's just for us to, you know, deal with the debt crisis in like this manner, and you know, deal with Plus Maria, like Puerto Rico, in this manner. When in reality, like just a couple of years ago, the conversation was completely different without really asking them, you know, if this was the way that they wanted to address the debt crisis.
Danica, I want to pivot here to the president. Of course, it's hard to ignore the tweets that President Trump issued this week, including making a statement that giving more aid to Puerto Rico would, quote, take dollars away from our farmers and so many others. The takeaway, we're down in Puerto Rico. I know Puerto Ricans are farmers as well, has a very robust agricultural community. What are they saying about what the president has said?
Well, like the governor said, and, you know, in reply to President Trump's tweets, that, you know, Puerto Rican farmers are U.S. farmers, and a lot of people bristle and are still annoyed at the notion that many feel that don't know that Puerto Rico is a U.S. territory and the people who live here are U.S. citizens. They're not allowed to vote in the presidential elections, but they are allowed to vote in primaries. And again, they are U.S. citizens. So they're not surprised by Trump's comments. It still, you know, sparks a lot of anger among people here. They agree, obviously, that corruption has been prevalent for decades. But they also know, you know, that starting this month, Puerto Rico will no longer have to wait for approval from FEMA before issuing reimbursements related to the hurricane. So there's just this sense of, why are you dragging us through the mud? You know, we're U.S. citizens. We need help. I mean, Hurricane Maria hit nearly 2 years ago, and there's still, you know, people living under blue tarps. There's still people struggling to find jobs. Although the tweets are not surprising to many, it still, I feel like, hurts many, especially those who are struggling, and especially those who are in the food assistance program who have seen a cut in their benefits.
Danica Cotto is a reporter for the Associated Press, and Andrea Gonzalez Ramirez is a senior news and politics writer for Refinery 29. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.